Morning. Today's Davin Erevin Pei Aleph. We're on Payamid Beis. We are one section away from the Mishnah on Payamid Beis. We're starting at the two dots, right in the middle of the Amud. Gemara now is moving its discussion to the actual procedure of making Shitufi Mavos and Eruvei Chatzeros. Shitufi Mavos allowing to carry from the Chatzer to the Mavui, Eruvei Chatzeros allowing to carry from the from the home into the chatzer, and obviously in the opposite as well. So the Mishnayos give us the actual procedure and how to put it together. The Mishnayos here weave in and out between Shituf Mavui and Eruv Chatzeros, the basic distinction between the two. Shituf and Mavos can be done with any food. You could use bread, but you could also use wine or oil, or there is no limitation in terms of what food you could use. You cannot use water, you cannot use salt for the Shitufei Mavos, but outside of that, you could use any food you want. For the Eruvei Chatzeros, there has to be bread. The Gemara is going to make that point very clear. We already made that point earlier. So it has to be bread regarding the Eruvei Chatzeros. The distinction between the two, as we already pointed out, when it comes to Shitufei Mavos, the idea is that we're just simply incorporating. We're taking a group of people and we're bringing them together. And so we could do so over any food as long as it's a communal food. On the other hand, when it comes to Eruvei Chatzeros, there it's more an issue of residence. We're taking the Eruvei Chatzeros and we're putting it in somebody's house. Remember, we already pointed out, the host himself does not need to contribute because obviously he resides in his own home. But everyone else is also establishing residence over there. And so when establishing residence, residence is done over bread. And so that is one of the basic distinctions between Shituf Mavui and Eruvei Chatzeros. The Gemara, the Mishnah yesterday talked about a base minimum necessary in order to create the Eruv. How much is the minimum amount of bread? So the Mishnah, quite frankly, is not particularly clear about how much it is. So the Mishnah just simply says that it is going to make a difference in terms of how many people are participating. If there are a lot of people participating, so then you only need mazon, shtei seudos, and the requisite amount that is going to be enough for two meals. If, however, it's if it's a few number of people, so then it could be even less so. But outside of that, the Mishnah is not abundantly clear. We're going to make that point clear in just a moment when we get to the Gemara. The Mishnah talks about what if I have residual of the Eruv, meaning that some of the Eruv has been eaten and I have residual. So in the Mishnah says that you can add more to the Eruv, and you don't have to inform people, you don't have to let other people know that you are replenishing. The Mishnah does make a distinction in terms of whether or not you're replenishing with the same food or different foods. Truth of the matter is, the Gemara made that distinction. In the Mishnah itself, that distinction is not so clear. But anyway, but we said that when it comes to the replenishment of the Eruv, you don't have to let other people know. And the final point that we saw in the Mishnah yesterday was the Shita of the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, which we just highlighted itself. Anyway, let's start with the Gemara. The Gemara starts off Amar Rav Shizbi, right? Nitosu alei mosifu mezake. Okay, so if people are now moving into the community, new people are moving into the community. In the community, I mean chatzer. So under those circumstances, you have to let them know that we're going to be contributing the erva on their behalf. Amar Rav Shizbi, Amar Rav Chista, Zosameres, Chalukin Alav Chaver Al Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, okay, our Mishnah is going against Rav Yehuda. Now, which sheet of Rav Yehuda did none? So the Gemara over here says the sheet of Rav Yehuda, which we saw earlier, and it's going to come up a couple more times in our Masechta. Amar Rav Yehuda by Medvar Mamor, Beiruvit Chum Amval, Beiruvit Chatzeres Ma'arvin, Bein Ladas, Bein Shlomi Das. Sheet is Rav Yehuda, is that when it comes to Erev Tchum, so there needs to be notification. But when it comes to Erev Chatzeros, so you could be Ma'ariv on behalf of somebody else, with or without consent. You don't need their approval in order to make an Erev Chatzeros on behalf of others. So our Mishnah is arguing with Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara's reaction to that observation of the Gemara, Pshita, the Gemara says, now that's obvious. Meaning, you read our Mishnah, you read the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and it is clear that they are in disagreement one with the other. Pshita de Chalukin. So the Gemara says, that's kind of obvious, and it doesn't need to be proclaimed like this is some sort of amazing observation. So ma de tema hani mil bechatzer shebein shnei mavos, avachatzer shebein, avachatzer shel mavoi echad, ema lo kamash malan. So the Gemara says, well, I would have thought that maybe, perhaps, that's speaking specifically about a chatzer that exists between two mavos. Right? We talked about this already a number of times. If I have a chatzer that is riding on, flanking two different streets, I don't really mean streets, a mavoi is an enclosed area, but basically it's like a street, if you will, it's like a cul-de-sac, and it's not perfectly clear which mavoi this chatzer is going to use. So under certain circumstances, what you could effectively say to that chatzer and that group is, you know what, you join the other mavoi, you don't join our mavoi. So over there in that circumstance, so I might have thought that that over there you don't need consent because you could just simply reroute them to another mavoi. But if I have a chatzer shel mavoi echad, if I only have a chatzer where it's clear where their egress is, it's going out to our mavoi. So under those circumstances, I might have thought that Rav Yehuda would not say that you don't need their consent. In other words, we know they're coming out into our mavoi, so maybe under those circumstances we do need their consent. So kamash malan that even in that case, I do not need their consent. Kamuhushi uro. The Gemara now is going to be talking about the amount of food necessary for the establishment of an Eruv. Now again, our Mishnah, not very clear. Our Mishnah makes a distinction between whether the group is large or whether the group is small. If the group is large, so then two meals worth. If the group is small, so then the Mishnah says it's going to be less than that. So from the Mishnah itself, the parameters of how much food is really not that clear. And the Gemara starts off the discussion, kamu shiro, v'chuli kamuhu merubin. So first of all, when we say a lot of people, we say a little bit of people. What does that mean? So I'm Rav Yehuda Mashmul, shmona esrei b'nei Adam. So Rav Yehuda Mashmul says that it's 18 people. Now the Gemara wants clarification. Shmona esrei v'sula, what do you mean, 18? Meaning 18 and not 19? So ein eima mi shmona esrei v'eilech. No, so the Gemara says, fine. So what it means is that once you are at 18 or above 18, so that already is a lot of people. So the Gemara says, okay, but still, we need further clarification. What does that mean? So Maishman Esrei Denaka, so why 18? What's so special about 18 people? Obviously Chai, but in terms of Eruv Echatzeros, what does that mean? So Amar Rav Yitzchak Bereid, Rav Yehuda Didimi Freshleimi Neida Abba. So he says, I heard this, Rav Yitzchak says, that I heard this from my father. Kol she'ilu mechalkul amazon she'esudus b'neim ve'eim agaz grogros l'chol echad ve'echad hein merubim v'sagi b'amazon she'esudus v'ilo mu'atin inu v'agav orche. I'm sorry, we'll get to the agav orche in just a moment. So he says like this. Look, how much does every individual need to contribute to a grogros? Grogros is a volume of a dried fig. So everybody needs to contribute a grogros of mazon of food. And again, let's assume right now we're talking about the Eruv Chatzeros, which has to be bread. So everyone has to contribute a grogros of bread. Now, if I take, a grogros is a dried fig, and how much of it is going to make up two meals worth? So the Gemara now is teaching us, so really it's going to be 18 grogros, which is going to make beis seudos. It's going to make two meals worth. And so basically, and this is Rashi's explanation, we're going to say like this. If I have 10 people in the chatzer, 11, 12, any number where each person's contribution of a grogoris is going to amount to less than two meals worth, fine. So then everyone contributes a grogoris worth, and that's the amount that you need in total. Good. But now once the number gets to 18, so when everyone contributes together, you're going to get to two meals worth. So it maxes out at two meals worth, meaning, so once you're at 20 people, so you still don't need to give anything more than two meals worth. So the collective total of the bread that needs to be collected from everybody does not need to exceed two meals worth. So that means to say that, yes, in other words, people now can contribute less than a grogoris. And again, most likely what happens, as we already discussed, and practically this is of course what we do, is that somebody is going to be sponsoring it on behalf of everybody and be mezakeh to everybody. Fine, but in other words, but the point is that it does not need to be more than two meals worth. So the Mishnah, when it says merubim, means 18, but the significance of 18 is because there are two maximums. Maximum amount that each individual needs to bring, which is a grogoris, and a maximum number that the total needs to bring, which is two meals worth. And once you hit that second maximum of two meals worth, so then not everybody has to bring a grogoris. Everyone could bring less than a grogoris. The idea is that it maxes out per person and it maxes out per the group. Okay, and va'agav orche, now the Gemara says, and from all this, kamash malan, d'shtei sudos, hainu, shmona esrei grogoros. And now we also know that when we say two meals worth, So we also have another way of measuring it, and it's going to be equivalent to 18 grogeris. Okay, there is a discussion to be had over here, and it's a technical discussion. It's important, an important technical discussion in terms of how much a kazais is, meaning that we were just given another clue in terms of measuring what a kazais is. Kazais is the volume of an olive, which is smaller than that of a grogeris. We now know that 18 grogeris make up, a composite of 18 grogeris make up 2 meals worth. So now, do we have a better sense of what a kazais is? The answer is yes, but it still is not that straightforward. Tosfos over here, last Tosfos on our Amud, discusses based on our Gemara, how much a kazais comes out to be in volume, how much a kazais is relative to 2 meals worth. Okay, so but we're going to continue in the Gemara. B'chol ma'arvin, we are in the Mishnah on the bottom of Pei Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, B'chol ma'arvin mishtatvin chutz min amayin min amalch divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So you can make an erev with everything. You can make a shitah with everything, with exception to water and with salt, according to the shitah of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, the proper understanding of Rabbi Eliezer is that clearly he's talking about the food for an erev and the food for a shitah. Now, for the food for the shitah, as we already pointed out, so it can be any food, as we already established. Here the Mishnah is very clear, it can be any food, with exception to water and salt. Water and salt, the easiest way to explain it, as I've done in the past, is that it's not caloric food, right? That doesn't, obviously it's, you know, it's necessary, especially water. It's a necessary component of life, but it doesn't satiate it in any way. Okay, regardless, so when it comes to the sheet of Mavui, we're clearly talking about any food. How about with the Erev Chatzer? So there, as we already pointed out, it's limited to bread. So the language of Bechol Ma'arvin and Meshatfin, so what does that mean? So the Gemara is going to make it clear, but I'll give it away right now. What it means is that for the Erev Chatzeros, the allowance of Rabbi Eliezer is that you can use any bread, meaning whether the bread is Shalem, it's a whole roll, or it's Prusa, or it's broken pieces. So that's what Rabbi Eliezer means as it relates to the bread used for the Erev Chatzeros. That's the Bakol. Okay? The Gemara is going to take a little bit of time to get to that point, but as long as we're here learning the Mishnah, so that's the simple pshat in the Mishnah. In fact, it's going to be clear in the context as we continue in the Mishnah, but in the meantime, however, that sheet is Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Kikuhu Erev. So, and Rabbi Yeshua says no, that when making and contributing bread for the Erev, it has to be a whole loaf. It cannot be prusa, it cannot be a broken piece. Okay, we have an old expression, right? Nothing is as good as sliced bread. In our modern construction of food, so we don't see the sliced bread as inferior as a whole roll, as a whole loaf. Okay, Bizmana Mishnah, Bizmana Gemara, and I'm sure for centuries and onward, so nothing is better than a whole loaf. A whole loaf, a whole roll, from the Mishnah standpoint, from the Gemara standpoint, is far superior than that of a broken piece of bread. So the So what Rabbi Yeshua is saying is that when you're making your Erev Chatzeros, it's got to be over a whole loaf of bread. You cannot use broken pieces. And Rabbi Yeshua, in the Mishnah, it wants to really emphasize the point that the whole loaf of bread is really the best, is really preferred. Afilu ma'afesa'a v'uprusa in ma'arvin bo. Let's say you have ma'afesa'a, right? You have this huge loaf of bread, but it's broken. So then you don't make an Erev with it. Kikar ki'isar. Now let's say it's a tiny loaf of bread, but it's a whole loaf. So then, v'hu shalem marvin bo. So that you could use for your Erev Chatzeros. Okay. So in the Mishnah, we have a machlokas, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, whether or not the broken pieces of bread are going to be acceptable for the Erev Chatzeros. Rabbi Eliezer says yes, and Rabbi Yeshua says no. For the sheet of mavui, so Rabbi Eliezer says you could use whatever food you want except for water and for salt. Now, tanin chad zimna. Now, the Gemara says, now, there was a point in time where we learned this earlier in the Masechta. And that is b'chol ma'arvin mishatfin chutz min amayin min amelach. That you can make an erev and you can make a shituf with everything, with exception to mayin min melach. Now, if you remember, the Gemara is quoting from Daf Chavav. That is in Daf Yomi terminology a long time ago. Hopefully, also you remember that the context of that Mishnah was talking about eruv etchum. Okay, there was a Rashi over there in that Mishnah. By the way, that was the very first Mishnah, the third parak of the Masechta. So there was a Rashi over there b'chol ma'arvin mishatfin. So Rashi over there writes, Eruv Chatzeros Utchomim. So Rashi says that that Mishnah over there, the first Mishnah, the third Perek, is talking both about Eruv Chatzeros and about Eruv Tchomim. So when Rashi made the comment, so Tosu says, what was Rashi talking about? Meaning the entire Perek was talking about Eruv Tchom, right? That was the beginning of the Masechta, where the Masechta the beginning section of the Masechta, where the Mishnayos and the Gemara were talking about Erev Tchum. That is the third, fourth, and fifth parakim of our Masechta was talking about Erev Tchum. So clearly that Mishnah was introducing Erev Tchum. The idea over there that Rashi says it's also talking about Eruv Chatzeros, so that was a difficult Rashi. Tosos made that observation back in the beginning of the third parak. So meanwhile over here, so the Gemara now is bothered because it sounds like we have pretty much the same Mishnah. Now, now we just pointed out that contextually it's talking about Erev Tchum, not about Erev Chatzeros, but in the meantime, the Gemara wants to know why over here in our Mishnah do we seem to be making the same point. So Amar Rabba Lafuki mit Rav Yoshua da Amar Kikar in Midyach Rini Lo. Kamash Malam Bakol. So the Gemara says, well, the Bakol over here is coming to exclude the position of Rabbi Yeshua because Rabbi Yeshua over here demands that it has to be a whole loaf of bread. So Eisvei Abai, so Abai says, B'chom Arvin Eru V'chatzerus U'v'chom Mishatum Shitufim Mavoz V'lo Amru La'ar V'pas Ela B'chatzer Bavad. So the Gemara, so Abai says, okay, but I'm going to remind you of a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you can make an Erev with Erev Chatzeros, with Bakol, using anything. And Bakol, when it comes to Shitufim Avos, you could use anything. And the only reason why, after making Shitufim Avos, you also need to make Erev Chatzeros, is And the only reason why the only time that Erev Chatzeros can be done with bread is only for the Chatzer. Now, Man Shama Ledamar Pasin Midach Minalob Rabbi Yoshua. So now we know that bread and only bread, so that Shitas Rabbi Yoshua v'ketani bakol. And the word over the years that's used is the word bakol. So you see that the word bakol is not just a limitation of foods, but can even be within bread. It can be just simply a limitation of what kind of bread. So Ela Amar Rabba Barbarchana la'afuke mid Rabbi Yoshua da Amar shlema in prusalo kamash malam bakol. So proper understanding of the Mishnah, and I know I already gave it away when we learned the Mishnah, but proper understanding of the Mishnah is that when the Mishnah uses the words bakol with anything, so anything is contextualized too when we're talking about bread. Meaning in the discussion of bread, so you could use whatever kind of bread you want. And your options are whole loaves or broken pieces. In that regard, Rabbi Eliezer becomes a mekel, and he says bakol, and in the context of our Mishnah, that means any type of bread. And along comes Shitas Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Yoshua says no, that when it comes to the Erev Chatzeros, you can only use whole loaves, and you cannot use broken pieces of bread. Okay, Adkan. So now we have an understanding of our Mishnah, that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua are arguing when it comes to Erev Chatzeros, in terms of whether a whole loaf or a broken loaf of bread is going to be acceptable. Now, Rabbi Yeshua's position, which in a moment we're going to see is going to be the accepted position, is that you can only use whole loaves of bread. And the question, perhaps you're thinking, is why? In other words, for Eruv Chatzeros, that has to be over bread. That was we already established. The purpose of Eruv Chatzeros is to establish residency, as we already discussed. Why does it have to be whole loaves of bread? Why can't it be a broken piece of bread? Uprusa my time alo. Well, so why not? Why not a broken piece of bread? I'm a Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul. I'm a Rabbi Mishum Eva. So the Gemara says, because what happens is that if people make contributions of broken pieces of bread, so it's going to create animosity. Eva, it's interesting. Usually when the Gemara discusses Eva, it talks about relationship between Jew and non-Jew. Over here, Eva in our Gemara means relationship between Jew and Jew. And what's going to end up happening is that if there's not a standardized contribution of what needs to be brought, contributed to the Eruv, so what's going to happen is people are going to end up fighting. Okay. Unfortunately, we see this right when standards are not uniform and people do what basically they want to do. So and there's a required contribution. Right. I was going to compare it to weddings. It's not exactly the same as weddings. Right. There's no contribution requirement by wedding. But over here, where there is a contribution requirement. And some people are going to bring these beautiful whole loaves of bread, and other people are going to bring broken pieces of bread. So then, what's going to happen is that people are going to look, people are going to look at those bringing the subpar bread, meaning the broken piece of bread, and they're basically going to say, "Look, look what I'm bringing, look what you're bringing, that's ridiculous." So once now we standardize what needs to be brought, so it will reduce the amount of animosity between Jew and another Jew. Now, as we already saw back in the Mishnah. Meaning there are whole loaves of bread and there are whole loaves of bread. You can bring a whole loaf of bread that's small. You can bring a whole loaf of bread that's huge. So please don't worry. There's still room for people to fight, right? It's not going to solve the problem altogether. But certainly what it will do is that once we standardize what needs to be contributed to the Eruv, So then at least it'll minimize the amount of animosity that exists between the people. So Amalei Ravacha Bereda Ravala Ravashi Ervu Kulam Beprusos Mahu. So let's say we all agree that we're all going to bring broken pieces of bread. So shouldn't that reduce the animosity? Amalei Shemiyachzu Davla Kulkula. The Gemara says no, because what's going to happen is that even if we agree that we're going to bring broken pieces of bread, so what's going to end up happening is that somebody's going to bring a whole loaf of bread. And once that happens, so then we're back to the fighting. So the Gemara says so. So it's better to standardize and standardize in the direction where you're going to bring whole. Everyone has to bring a whole loaf of bread. Okay. So Adkan. So we've just established that the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua that everyone's contribution to the Eruv Chatzeres has got to be bread. But moreover, according to Rabbi Yeshua, it's got to be shleimus. It's got to be whole loaves of bread. Okay. There is an interesting discussion. I'll just touch on it. But when it comes to the sheet of Mavui, so it could be any food. It doesn't have to be bread. If you're going to bring bread for the sheet of Mavui, so would Rabbi Yeshua say in that such a situation it has to be shalem? Or would he say, look, once by sheet of Mavui we've already shown, we have clearly indicated that it could be any food, so maybe when it comes to bread, so it could be any bread as well. And so maybe Rabbi Yeshua by the sheet of Mavui is going to be more makel and allow for even broken pieces of bread for the sheet of Mavui. Okay? A discussion to be had over there, a machlokas. But in the meantime, however, let's continue in our Gemara. Okay, so when it comes to the Eruv Chatzeres, it's got to be a whole loaf of bread. And now the Gemara is going to be discussing more of the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua. Nowhere do we really find in the Gemara that the Gemara paskins like Rabbi Yeshua. But as you can see over here, all indicators is that we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. The Rambam Shita, the Shulchan Aruch Shita, that we do paskin like Rabbi Yeshua, it has to be a whole loaf of bread. It's interesting because he comes out to be a chumrah, meaning that Rabbi Eliezer allows even for broken pieces of bread to be contributed, and Rabbi Yeshua says whole loaf of bread are what is necessary. So that is a chumrah. And generally speaking, that when it comes to Erevin, so generally we're makel, not machmir. And over here in this particular issue, we're going to be machmir. So perhaps some of the reasons why we're machmir on this particular issue is that he's arguing with Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer's position normally is a rejected position in terms of halacha. So and a number of other factors that bring us to the idea that we do paskin like Rabbi Yehoshua. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan Mishal Nitla Himenu Kedei Chalta Kedei Dimua Me'arven Lo Ba. So Rav Yochanan Mishal says as follows: look, when you have a loaf of bread, so sometimes you got to take a little piece off. So he gives two examples in which you have to take a little piece off. One is Kedei Chala. Right, the amount, the portion that you take off from your bread in order to give to the Kohen. Okay, I know we confuse each other when we refer to the bread on Shabbos and we call that challah. Okay, that's a colloquialism in terms of what we describe it as. But challah in the halachic sense is the portion of the dough that is taken off to give it to the Kohen. So how much do you take off? So as we're going to see in just a moment, so there's a range in terms of how much you take off and give to the Kohen. But for our purposes right now, let's just simply say it's a percentage, it's a small amount. And if you didn't take off the portion when it was dough, which by the way is when you were supposed to do it, so when it's a loaf of bread and you have yet to take off a piece of that bread to give to the Kohen, so you have to take off a small part and give it to the Kohen. So that's Kedei Chala. What's Kedei Demua? Kedei Demua is that if I have a mixture of Chulin and Truma, and let's say the ratio is exactly at the point of 100 to 1, so under those circumstances, what you have to do is that so that even though bittul has occurred, still a portion of that has to be taken off and given over to the Kohen. And this is Kedei Dimua. So the idea over here is that if I have a loaf of bread, but I need to take off a small portion, either Kedei Chal or Kedei Dimua, in order to give to the Kohen. So now I don't have exactly a whole loaf of bread. I have now most of a whole loaf of bread, but I'm missing a small portion, so that's still going to be acceptable for my Eruv Chatzeres. Meaning, assuming the halacha is like Rabbi Yehoshua, which it is, and assuming now that we need a whole loaf of bread, if I'm missing a small little piece because of challah or because of dimua, so that's still going to be acceptable for Eruv Chatzeres. The Gemara over here just seeks to clarify that time we looked in the Braisa, Kedei dimua ma'arven la ba, Kedei achalta ein ma'arven la ba. So the Gemara says, look, the Braisa says, look, if it's really a small piece, which is like Kedei Dimua, which is about 1% that's taken off, so that's fine. Meaning 99% of the loaf still is intact. That is considered a shalem. On the other hand, if it's Kedei Chala, so that's significantly more that's taken off. and so therefore it's not considered a shalem. So the Gemara says that what we have over here seemingly is a stira, meaning the Brisa says that you can't, if it's kedei chalav taken off, you can't use it. And meanwhile, Rav Yochim and Shaul says that you can use it. So lokasha haba chalas nachtam haba chalas malabais. So the Gemara says, I foreshadowed this Gemara. The Gemara says, well, look, how much challah do you have to take off? It's actually a range. And the Mishnah in challah tells us. It depends really who you are in terms of how much challah needs to be taken off. Now we learned in the Mishnah, shir challah echad me'esrim va'arba. The amount of challah that needs to take off is 1/24th, approximately 4%. Okay, not exactly, but if it's just a good way to look at it in terms of percentages. Ha'osa isa la'atzma v'isa l'mishteh b'no echad me'esrim va'arba. So anytime that you are making bread for yourself, for private use, either just for simple private use, but even for your own child's chasna, so then you have to take off 1/24th, you have to take off about 4%. Nachtom shu ose limkor b'shuk, but once you're making the bread to sell it, so v'chene isha sha'asa limkor b'shuk, or a woman that is looking to sell in the marketplace, echad me'arba'im Vishmona. So there it's going to be 48th, meaning about approximately 2%. Okay, the Chachamim basically were lenient, meaning understanding that the bread really is your livelihood, and so in order not to take away too much of your profit margin, so therefore they made an allowance for anyone who's looking to sell the bread that they only have to give 2% of the bread to the Kohen, not 4%. Now, how does this range work? So it's just like Truma, in that Truma off of produce, so there is no actual number given by the Torah, and so what the Chachamim said is that you have a range over there on what to give, a 40th, a 50th, a 60th, so over here when it comes to challah of bread, of dough, so the same thing, min haTorah, there is no amount that's given in the Torah, and so the Chachamim issued a range in terms of what to give, anywhere within the range of 2% to 4%, depending on who you are, whether it's for private use or if it's for commercial sale, fine. And so basically, with that in mind, so now we understand. So if we're talking about Kidei Dumo, that's about 1%. So that is negligible vis-a-vis the halach of Shalem. When it comes to Kidei Chala, well, it depends. There are now two ways to measure Chala, private use or commercial use. So if it's private use, you have to take off 4%. If it's commercial, so then you take off 2%. So now we understand. When Rav Yochanan ben Shaul says that if Kidei Chala is taken off, so he was talking about the smaller share of commercial sale, of 2%. So there, 2% is negligible. But once 4% of the dough is taken off, because you are a private individual, and the dough is for private use, so that already now is considered no longer negligible. That is now a significant amount off that's taken off the bread, where the bread no longer is considered a shalem. Okay, 2 points over here. Before we continue in the Gemara, so we've just learned together is that if I have a loaf of bread and a small piece is taken off, so if it's about 1 or 2%, so then that's negligible and still has the halach of shalem. If it's 4%, so that's no longer negligible and you call it shalem and it can no longer be used for your eruvei chatzeres because we're following the shita of Rabbi Yoshua. The Gemara does not make this point clear, and the Rishonim debate this point. Again, I'll just bring it up, and that is that. When we're talking about the small portion of bread that's taken off, this negligible amount, are we talking about specifically in the case because you're taking it off for dimua purposes or for challah purposes? Or are we just using those as numbers, but now that we've established what the percentage of numbers are, so now we could take those and apply to any situation? Meaning that, let's say, I took off a percentage of the challah, 1% of the challah, but not because of dimua, just simply because whatever. Right, so somebody got sloppy with the loaf of bread and just either bit a small piece off or ripped off a small piece, but it was only 1% that was taken off. So under those circumstances, now would we say that that's negligible? Or the alternative is that the only time where it's negligible is when I'm actually taking it off for dimua purposes, or I'm actually taking it off for challah purposes. Okay, so that's open to a debate amongst the Rishonim. Okay, that's one point. A secondary point, which also is really important, is that we just learned the halacha of when does a loaf of bread qualify as shalem vis-a-vis eruv chatzeros. Are we going to say the same halacha regarding bracha? On Shabbos, we know that we need shlemos. The truth of the matter is that even during the week, we need shlemos. It just happens to be that, again, it's right, whole loaves of bread are just simply not as popular nowadays. But the truth of the matter is, me'ikar din, strict letter of the law, so you need whole loaves of bread even during the week as well in order to make a bracha. Are we going to be able to use these same numbers vis-a-vis the requirement of shalom when it comes to a bracha? So so that also is the discussion. Our Gemara over here is only discussing shalom vis-a-vis Eruv Chatzeros. It may not be transferable to the halachas of bracha. Maybe the requirement of shalom by bracha may be a higher requirement. That's a possibility. And again, just raising that as awareness. Amar Rav Chista, we're continuing the Gemara. So we now have established that when it comes to the bread for Eruv Chatzeros, it has to be shalom. Amar Rav Chista, Tafra B'kisa Ma'arvim Lo Ba. So Rav Chista gives us another halacha, really interesting halacha, and that is, let's say, a loaf of bread broken to two. We're going to be doing a little bit of suturing. And with a toothpick, we basically put the one side of the bread into one side of the toothpick and the other side in the other, and we have quote-unquote stitched the bread together. So does that work? So Rav Chista says, yeah, that works. So Gemara says, Vatanya. Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem. That is, the Brisa says, it doesn't work. Ein Marvin Lo Ba. So the Brisa says that you don't make an Eruv with stitched bread, with bread that's held together by a toothpick. So Lo Kasha Had Yada Tifrei, Had Lo Yada Tifrei. The Gemara says that it really depends on how good a job you did in terms of holding piecing it back together again. If the toothpick is really not noticeable, and it looks really good, and so under those circumstances, so it's considered, vis-a-vis the halach of Shalem, it's considered shalom. If, however, it is clear and evident that this bread was broken and it's stitched together again, it's basically being held together by toothpicks, so then it's not going to work out. That's the Gemara says that's the resolution. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Shmuel. Vis-a-vis the Eruv Chatzeros, as we said, it has to be bread. Interesting halacha is coming up right now, and that is, it does not have to be bread made out of wheat. Meaning, bread over here, in the looser terminology, it doesn't have to be the kind of bread where you have to say the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz is only for bread, which is made out of the five grains. Over here, regarding bread for Eruv Chatzeros, the definition of bread gets a little bit more expanded. Ma'arvin Bepas Orez, or Bepas Dochen. You could use rice bread, you could use millet bread. Amar Marukva Lididi Mefarshali Mine Demar Shmuel. Mar Ukva says that I heard directly from Shmuel, Bepas Orez Ma'arvin, or Bepas Dochen Ein Ma'arvin. Making a distinction between rice bread and millet bread. Rice bread you can use, millet bread you cannot use. Apparently rice bread is a little bit better. The Gemara doesn't really elaborate. Amar Abichia Baravin Amar Rav Ma'arvin Bepas Adoshen. Lentil bread also is going to be acceptable, says the Gemara. Ini va'ayi da'ave b'shnei damar shmol v'shaji l'kalve v'lo achlei. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Bread made out of lentils. There was, during the years of Shmuel, they took some of this lentil bread, they threw it to a dog, the dog refused to eat it. The Gemara says, ha'i d'sharminim havya. The Gemara says, no, that wasn't lentil bread. That was bread that was a composite of many different types of grains and legumes. D'chsiv, the pasuk says, this is now what the Gemara here is describing as Ezekiel bread. And yes, it got popular nowadays as being some sort of healthy bread. The Gemara over here, quoting the Pesukim in Yechezkel, describes it over here. And the Gemara is not going to be very flattering about this kind of bread. The Gemara basically says it's not even dog food. Okay? Rav Papa Amar Hahi, sorry. Before we get to the statement to Rav Papa. So what the Gemara is basically saying is that if I have bread that's made up strictly of rice or millet, which is controversial, or lentils, and if it's just made up of either that particular grain or legume, so then that's fine. What we were describing as something that not even a dog would eat, that's basically bread that's made up of a composite of all these different types of grain. Rav Papa Amar Yitzlui B'Tosa Adam Havai. Rav Papa says, look, That pasuk in Yechezkel, the reason why that bread is so disgusting and so inedible is because of the way it was prepared. It was cooked over human feces. Dichsiv, look back in that parak in Yechezkel. The pasuk says, "Vihi begalalei tsoas ha'adam te'agna le'enehem." Okay, so the pasuk describes how it was prepared using the fuel that was used to prepare it was human feces. So ma'ive. So Amar Chista lishiurim. Now, what the Navi is forecasting is that the bread is going to be at such a scarcity that even this kind of bread, which quite frankly is disgusting, but people are still going to ration out this kind of bread. Rapapa amar arevta ka'arevas arim velo ka'arevas chitim. Rapapa gives a different explanation of that pasuk, and that is that the reason why the pasuk describes it as a se'ora is because it looks like barley bread, it doesn't look like wheat bread. It's not clear in the Gemara, what does barley bread look like, what does wheat bread look like? A really interesting Rashi over here. So Rashi says that when it comes to wheat bread, so tikun ha'uga agula vina'eh. So Rashi says that the wheat bread is made into a circular shape. Okay, so not really sure why, but whatever. That was the minhag back then. So the bread being described in the Navi Yecheskel is not shaped circular, and it was shaped like, generally speaking, like how barley bread was shaped. Anyway, comes out now is that we finished our first half of today's daf. We went through now, we finished up yesterday's daf regarding the minimum amount of contribution that needs to be made for the Erev Chatzeros. We learned about the relationship between Agorgeros and Beis Seudos, and we learned the leniencies of, there basically are two caps in terms of how much you need to contribute to the Erev Chatzeros. One is per person, which is a grogeros, and the other is the communal one, which is that there are 18 grogeros that make up shtei seudos, and the group in its entirety does not have to give more than shtei seudos. So once there are more than 18 people in the group, so therefore we're going to go with the communal cap, and no more than two meals worth has to be contributed to the Erev Chatzeros. That was our first point of this morning. Then we saw the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Bechol ma'arvin mishtatfin. A nusach HaMishnah that already has been used a number of times, the beginning of the third perek, here now towards the end of the seventh perek. And the idea is that when it comes to shitufei mavos, you could use any food you want, with the exception of salt and water. When it comes to eruvei chatzeros, so it has to be bread, and a machlokus of the Mishnah between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, whether it has to be, whether it can also be broken pieces of bread, or it specifically has to be whole loaves of bread. Rabbi Eliezer says broken pieces, and Rabbi Yeshua says there has to be a whole loaves of bread. The Gemara's discussion was basically 3 points over. One, clarification of the machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Two, what if a small portion of the bread has been taken off, and is it still considered a shalem? And three, if it's held together by a toothpick, it's broken but it's held together by a toothpick, would that be acceptable? Sorry, and let's add one more point, which we just went over, and that is number four. And what about bread that's made up, not of wheat, but not of barley, but what about bread that's made up of rice, and bread made up of millet, or bread that's made up of lentils? Would that be acceptable for the Erev Chatzeros as well? And the Gemara's response is, yes, it is. It's acceptable. Despite the fact, obviously, that you're not going to make the bracha of Hamos Lechem Haaretz, but again, we're talking about bread to make an Erev Chatzeros, to establish dira, to establish residency. And so here, the definition of bread is just going to be slightly wider. We are the Mishnah on the bottom of Pei Alpha Mud Aleph. Let's continue. No sin Adam malach and vanim velach tom kedeshiyizgalo eruv divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So right now you're not making any bread. There's no bread happening in your house. And so what do you want to do? You want to contribute to the eruv. So what you do is you go to the nachtom. You go to the baker and you give him some money and you say, here, I want this to be as a contribution for my bread. So under those circumstances, so what can you do? So can you make a contribution? So the machlokus in the Mishnah between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim. Rabbi Lezer says that you could just simply buy bread from the baker. The Chachamim omrim lo zachu lo ma'osav, and the Chachamim says it simply does not work. That's not going to qualify as a contribution to the Erev. Okay, so this machlokus between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim, what is that predicated on? So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi over here in the Mishnah goes and gives an explanation of why it is that if I give money to the baker, that doesn't qualify as my contribution for the Erev. Rashi writes over here, Lo zachu lo ma'osav, she'ein ma'os konos ad she'imshoch. Because consider the following, says Rashi, that when I give money to the baker, have I legally purchased the bread? The answer is no. You need a mashicha. You need to pull on the bread. You need to actually take the bread with your hands. V'afilu irev ha-chenvani hazeh l'chol ha-acherim v'zika gam lazeh eino eruv. And Rashi continues. Let's say the baker happens to also live within the chatzer, and let's say he sponsors the eruv this week, and he uses his bread for the eruv for everybody, including you as well. Rashi says even under those circumstances, it's not going to work. Why? So Rashi goes on to explain, Share lo niskaven lezakos lo bimatnas chinam kishar mizakin be'erev. So because when you gave money now to the baker, so when he now is sponsoring the erev for the week, so he is not have you in mind as a recipient of a gift. Meaning because you paid for it, so as a result of that now, so you are transactionally receiving a portion of the bread because you paid for it. However, here's the problem. Rashi writes, so Echinam Kishar Mizakim Be'erev, Ela Liknos Hama'a, Vahare Eina Knuya Lo, they came in the mouth and Okonos, Lo Samcha Daita Dahai, Velo Habe Daita La Knuya, Vinimsam Arev Lo Bemausav Shalomi Dato. So over here, once you hand money over to the baker, the problem now is that you are now committed to buying bread, but you haven't actually bought the bread as of yet. In other words, that bread is only going to be yours only when you do a Mashiach. And we're describing a scenario where no Mashiach has been done as of yet. And so therefore, when he's sponsoring the air for everybody within the Chatzar, including you, you are not a beneficiary of his generosity. You are receiving bread only because of the money that you gave. So what do you have right now? You don't have bread yet because you didn't do Mashiacha. And as far as the money is concerned, you don't make an Erev over money. You make an Erev over bread. So oddly enough, because you gave money for the bread to the baker, so now you are locked in. And even if he becomes a sponsor, you are not a participant in the Erev. A bit of an oddity, but when you think, when you go over the Rashi again, you're going to understand that you don't have the bread, and the only thing you really are looking at is basically the money that's transacted. Continuing in the Mishnah on the top of Pei Alpha and Beis, Umodim B'Shar Kol Adam Shezachul Ma'osav. Now when it comes to anybody else other than the baker, so then the money would be perfect. She'ein Ma'arvin La'adam El Midato. The only way you make an Erev is with consent. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Bamed V'Armamor Be'eruv V'Tchomim. Rabbi Yehuda says the only time they need consent is by Erev Tchom. Aval Be'eruv V'Chatzer is Ma'arvin La'adato Shlo La'adato Lefi Shezachul La'adam Shlo B'Fanav V'Ein Chavin La'adam Shlo B'Fanav. Here it is, the Mishnah. Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. We quoted this Mishnah already a number of times. We actually quoted this Mishnah earlier this morning because we noted that the previous Mishnah doesn't agree with the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda says that when it comes to Erev Chatzeres, I don't need anybody's consent. Meaning if I'm sponsoring the Erev for everybody and I'm a Zaka on behalf of everybody, and like we already discussed, you need somebody on the receiving end to receive it on behalf of everybody, that is sufficient. And you don't need consent by everyone. Why? Because by Erev Chatzeres, it's all upside, there's no downside. Right, the fact that everybody now is a contributor to the Erev, even if they don't know about it, that's perfect. Because now it facilitates, it allows carrying from your home into the Chatzer. So there's only plus, there's no negative. So Zachal Adam Shalom B'Fanav. The only time that you do need consent is in the case of Erev Tchum. If I'm going to sponsor somebody's Erev Tchum, so I can only do so with his consent. Because Erev Tchum, although it allows him to go and walk in extended one direction, that by definition is going to minimize the amount he can walk in another direction. So there I need consent because it's not all plus. There's plus and there's minus. So there I need consent. That's Shitas Rav Yehuda. Obviously we hold like Shitas Rav Yehuda. The previous Mishnah did not subscribe to that viewpoint. Actually two Mishnahs ago. Right? The Mishnah on payment base. So it didn't follow the Shitas Rav Yehuda, but okay. But anyway, that's Shitas Rav Yehuda when it comes to the Erev. The Mishnah taught us that if I give money to somebody else, so that is going to be considered a valid contribution. We're going to have to explain why. Because in other words, by the baker, so we just learned in the beginning of the Mishnah that when I give money to the baker, that is not viewed as a contribution. Because even if the baker goes and sponsors the Eruv, but my share is a paid share, and the bread is not mine until I actually do a Mashiach. Okay. So, but if I give money to somebody else, so then it does work. We need clarification on that point. So my time at the Rebbe Eliezer. So the Gemara says, Halo Masha. So the Gemara says, okay, after spending a lot of time explaining Shita the Chachamim, what we need to do is we really need to explain the Shita of Rebbe Eliezer, which I didn't do in the Mishnah, meaning I just glossed over Rebbe Eliezer in the Mishnah. Rebbe Eliezer says that even if I give money to the baker, it works. So the Gemara says, look, after going through the dynamics of the transaction, so the Shita the Chachamim really represents it's not a wonderful conclusion, but it's the correct conclusion, meaning that the money now is out of my hands. The bread's not mine because I didn't do a Mashiach. Okay, and it's not and as a result of that, I didn't contribute bread to the Eruv, and therefore it doesn't work. What is behind the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer? So my time at the Rabbi Eliezer on Lamashach. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravu, Asu Rabbi Eliezer Kedal Prakim Bishana. So the Gemara gives an argument to explain the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. It's like the four times of the year. Four times of the year, the Gemara over here is making a reference to the Gemara in Chulin, the Mishnah in Chulin. Did not the Gemara here quotes the Mishnah in Chulin, Bidal Prakim Elu, Mashchitan es Atavach Bal Karcho, Afilu Shur Shava Elav Dinar, Ve'in Lokech Elav Dinar Echad, Kofenoso Lishchot, Leficha Chimeis Mesa Lokech. There are going to be four times a year where there's going to be such a demand for meat that basically we can impose a sale upon the seller. Now we're talking over here about the sale of an animal as a seller of animals. So you're going to want to shecht an animal, but obviously, being that the shelf life of a shecht an animal is really small, so you're going to want to buy in group. Okay, so somebody comes over to you and says, "Look, I'd like a couple pounds of meat." So obviously, you could say to the buyer, the potential buyer, "I'm not selling you the meat until I know that I have a significant group of buyers. So when I shecht the animal, so I'm not going to have a loss." Fine. So that's true year-round. However, when it comes to the four times a year, earlier in the Mishnah Chulin, it goes through the four times a year, it's basically Erev Yontifs. It's not every Erev Yontif, it's not Erev Sukkos. The Gemara over there explains Erev Sukkos, everyone's so busy with Lulav and with Sukkah. So Erev Sukkos, the demand is not as high, but all the other Erev Yontifs, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Shavuos, Erev Pesach, Erev... second days of Sukkot, Erev Shmini Atzeres, if you will. So there, the demand for meat is so high. So basically, there, the Chachamim imposed that the buyer can say to the seller, "Look, I'm interested only in one piece of meat, but I'm here. And under those circumstances, we will tell the seller you must sell." Which means then that under those circumstances, we basically can force a transaction. So over here, that's also the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer over here. We're forcing the transaction. So the Gemara says, and the Gemara is going to spend just a little bit more time in that Mishnah in Chulin. If the animal dies, mace lilokeach. So that means that the seller, the buyer now has to suffer the loss. Since the Chachamim are forcing transaction under those circumstances, so that means to say that if the animal dies, so now it is the buyer now who's going to be receiving the dead animal, i.e. it's not kosher meat, it's nevela, but still, because of the forced transaction, we're looking at the buyer as if he already purchased it. So meis lokeach ala mashach, so the Gemara says, now no mashicha was done, how can we call him the buyer? So I'm Rav Huna b'shem mashach, so Rav Huna suggests, well, maybe that Mishnah is talking about where mashicha was done. I hachi emaseif, the Gemara says, no, there was no mashicha that was done. B'shar yimos hashana, ein okein l'ficha chimeis meis lamocher. Because the rest of the year, meaning if it's not these 4 days, so then we're going to work with the regular rules of transaction, which is that it does not belong to the buyer because he didn't do mashicha. So amai hamashach. So and you suggested that mashicha was done, meaning there was no mashicha that was done. So amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak leolam b'shalom mashach. So Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak says, fine. The Mishnayos in Chulin is talking about where no mashicha was done. Hachem amayiskinan b'shezicha lo ayide acher. So it was done through a zikui, meaning that the seller sold it on behalf to the buyer and used a third party to receive it on behalf of the buyer. So the Gemara says, "Bedal prakim elu dezuchusulo zachen lo shelo b'fanav." So when it comes to those 4 days of the year, because of the high demand of people wanting meat, so we're viewing that as a zchus zachen lo adam shelo b'fanav, and therefore it is going to go to the buyer. Even though, by the way, we have just learned together, it's all zechus. Yeah, but in the case where the animal dies, so then obviously it wouldn't be a zechus. But I would suggest that the likelihood of the animal dying without shechita is going to be so unlikely that basically that's a negligible downside. And so we're looking at that basically as all zechus. All zechus, right? What situation in life is there all zechus? Meaning, as long as it could be perceived as mostly zchus, so then we would say that is zachen l'adam shelo b'fanav. Good. So anyway, and b'sharim Moshe Hashanah, and then just continuing in the Gemara, as far as the other days of the year, dechovu lo ein chavon lo ela b'fanav, where now we're going to force a sale upon you the other days of the other times of the year. I don't know. In other words, do I really want the meat? And from the standpoint of the seller, if he doesn't have a buying group, it's not going to be good for him as well. during these 4 days of the year, we know there are going to be other people coming along and wanting to buy. Anyway, so what comes out from all this, right, not to get lost in this Mishnah and Chulin, what comes out from all this is that we do see that there are circumstances where the Chacham enforced a transaction, even though no Mashiach was done, here as well. A transaction can be forced over here. That is the explanation of Shita Rabbi Eliezer. As long as we quote that Mishnah in Chulin, so the Gemara now is going to give another approach to how to understand that Mishnah in Chulin. Meaning, the Mishnah in Chulin says the forced transaction. So how does it work? So one approach that we just gave is that there was a third party involved, and with that third party that was involved, so he received it on your behalf, using the principle of Zachon Adam Shalom Befanav. Rabbi Yochanan says we don't have to say that. We could say just another pshat in terms of why that Mishnah in Chulin, a forced transaction, is going to be acceptable, and that is because you paid for it. No Mashiach was done. So this is Rav Yochanan Lishita So. So Rav Yochanan says, B'dal prakim elu, amidu chacham divrem al divrei Torah. Da'am Rav Yochanan, divrei Torah mos konos. Umibnei ma'amra Mashiach ha'konik, zereshama yomar lo, nisrafa chitecha be'aliyah. So, Rav Yochanan says, here's how transactions work in general when it comes to movable items. Min ha'Torah, if you pay for an item, the item becomes yours. Ma'os konos min ha'Torah. That is Rav Yochanan Shita, stated over here, stated in the Gemara Bava Metzia, right? The principal area where this is discussed is the Gemara Bava Metzia. Now, Rav Yochanan explains that if money acquires Min HaTorah, so then what happens? Meaning, where does Mashiach fit into this picture? So that is basically rabbinic legislation, regulation on a transaction. Because what the Chachamim were interested in doing is protecting the buyer. And this is basically a regulation of the Chachamim in order to protect the buyer. Why? Because let's assume that a purchase was made on, let's say, for example, wheat, where you had a buyer who was buying wheat, but he didn't do the Mashiach. He didn't take the wheat yet into his possession. So Min HaTorah, that means that it belongs to the buyer. Now, where is the wheat right now currently located? On the premises of the seller. But as far as the seller is concerned, it's no longer his wheat. Now, let's say a fire breaks out in the wheat. So as far as the seller is concerned, he's not going to endeavor to try to salvage and save it because it's no longer his. So what the Chachamim did is that to protect the buyer, so the Chachamim basically said that even though the money did acquire, but they blocked the acquisition, they delayed the acquisition until the Mashiach is actually done. So Mashiach is there as a means of protecting the buyer. Good. This is all Shitas Rav Yochanan. But that means, though, that the Chachamim can regulate, and the Chachamim, of course, can deregulate. So under certain circumstances, the Chachamim say that money by itself can be kona. So the Gemara says that the Mishnah in Chulin that says that during the four times of the year, we're going to say that money by itself is going to acquire. So that basically is because the demand is so high. So what the Chachamim did is that they deregulated during those 4 days of the year. That's Rav Yochanan's understanding of that Mishnah in Chulin. Now perhaps, I mean, Rav Yochanan is not explaining our Mishnah, but perhaps that could also be the explanation of our Mishnah over here, vis-a-vis the Shita Rabbi Elazar. But that's not really the Gemara's intent on bringing in Rav Yochanan. The Gemara's real interest in bringing in Rav Yochanan is to explain the Mishnah in Chulin. We'll stop over here. We'll pick it up at the two dots tomorrow. In the meantime, however, let's recap. Let's review today's daf. One, we went over the machlokas between Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah here in Pei Aleph, versus the Mishnah in yesterday's daf and daf Pei. Regarding whether or not there needs to be consent on the parties of the chatzer when you're sponsoring the Erev on behalf of everybody. According to yesterday's Mishnah, there has to be consent. According to Rabbi Yehuda of today's Mishnah, there does not have to be consent. A machlokas between Mishnayos, and we do pasken like Rabbi Yehuda, that by Erev chatzer is where it's all zchus, so zech l'adam shlo b'fanav, and there does not need to be consent. That is that's the first thing we covered today. We also covered in terms of the base minimum amount that needs to be collected from everybody. So we learned that there are two shiurim, and we're going to be mekel, meaning it's either a grogris per person, or it's going to be collective two seudas worth, which is equivalent to 18 grogris. And so whichever is the lower of the number, so that is what the contribution is going to be. Meaning either every person is going to bring a grogris, or if collectively, once we start exceeding two meals worth, meaning there are more than 18 people in the chatzir, so then you can work with the smaller number of the collective total of two meals worth, which means that everyone needs to contribute only enough so that eventually we get to two meals worth. The Mishnah on the bottom of Pei Amud Beis, the beginning of today's daf, says that when it comes to Eruv and Shituf, you could use all foods for Shituf and Mavos, all foods except for water and salt. For Eruv and Chatzeros, it has to be bread, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, it could be whole loaves and broken loaves. Shitas Rabbi Yeshua is that can only be whole loaves, it cannot be broken loaves. The Gemara assumes that we do Paschal like Rabbi Yeshua, and we had on the Amud Aleph of today's daf, we had four discussions. One, correct understanding of our Mishnah, like we just suggested. Two, what if a small piece of the loaf breaks off? Is that still considered shalem? Meaning I had to take off a percentage for challah, I had to take off a percentage for dimua, would it still be considered a shalem? The simple answer is yes, but it's not that simple. It really depends on what kind of challah is being taken off. The second discussion, what if the loaf is broken, but I held it together with a toothpick, would that work? So if it's a good job, the answer is yes. The third discussion that we had in the Amud Aleph is what about other types of bread made up of rice, millet, or lentils? It would be acceptable for your Eruv Chatzeros. The Gemara quickly discussed Ezekiel bread. Gemara was not a fan. Next Mishnah. Next Mishnah says that what if I'm not contributing bread, but I'm giving money in order to purchase the bread? Would that work? So the Mishnah says it depends. If I did that from the baker, it would not work. Really, it's a machlok between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Shitas Chachamim is that it will not work. If I go to one of my neighbors and I give him money, so then it would work. We have not yet explained why that's true when it comes to a neighbor, not a baker. So that we'll explain that in tomorrow's daf. As far as the baker is concerned, so why doesn't it work according to the Chachamim? So we saw Rashi in the Mishnah. The reason why is because when you give money to the baker, so basically now he's obligated to give you the bread, but the bread's not yours because you haven't yet done a Meshicha. And so basically now, when he sponsors the Erev on behalf of everybody, so he's being generous to everybody in the Chatzar except for you, because he actually owes you the bread. So he does not have you in mind for the bread, and meanwhile, the bread is not yours because you haven't done a Meshicha on it yet. So for these technicalities, so you have the giving money to the baker simply does not work in terms of making you a participant in the Erev Chatzeros. Rabbi Lazar Shita says that it does work when you give it to the baker. And the Gemara spent a good part of the second half of today's daf explaining the Shita Rabbi Elazar. Why should it work? And the Gemara equates it to that of the Mishnah Chulin, where the Mishnah Chulin says that under certain circumstances, the Chachamim forced a transaction, like meat from the Shochet on the 4 days of the year where the demand for meat is so high. So there the Chachamim forced a transaction. How exactly does that transaction work, even without Mashiach being done? So the Gemara here gave two approaches in terms of how it works. Either it was through Al Yidei Acher, or Rav Yochanan says, no, it's based on the money that you gave. Aye, but you didn't do Mashiach. So here, the Gemara gives the explanation on behalf of Rav Yochanan that really Minatora Maos Konos, that money does acquire in of itself, and it just happens to be that year-round, so the Chachamim, in order to protect the buyer, so they regulate and said that the buyer doesn't acquire it until he actually takes the item. But for these four times a year, the Chachamim repeal their regulation so that the money in of itself is going to affect the Kenyan. And then we'll stop over there. I'll add one more really important point, and that is one Rashi which I didn't mention this morning, the Rashi on the Amud Beis. Maus konos minatora, that minatora that money acquires. How do we know that? Meaning, how does Rav Yochanan know that? So oddly enough, the Gemara itself, not here, not in Bava Metzia, the Gemara never gives a source in terms of how we know that Maos Konos. Rashi over here writes, it's based on a drasha. But this drasha, interestingly, is not brought down in the Gemara. This is Rashi invoking the drasha. Rashi says, I know it based on the fact that when it comes to the redemption of Kachim, so you could do so with money, right? Bepodem in a hektash, Rashi writes, Rashi divar amaskal, dvar Torah Maos Konos. So we know that when it comes to redemption of hektesh, so it can be done with money. And then Rashi makes an argument, kavachomer below keach min ahedjo. And the same thing is true when you're buying from an individual, right? From a regular person. So if money works in order of redeeming hektesh, so for sure it's going to be working in terms of buying from another individual. So Rashi over here makes the argument, the kavachomer argument. Okay, interesting, Rashi, because the Gemara itself does not do that. Anyway, we'll stop here.